Blog Talk Radio.
You got it, brother.
All right, glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'd like to say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. This is Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center, Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive in Houston, Texas. Come out and worship with us on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night's Bible study at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. How you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed. Blessed hearing your voice. I'm blessed.
Good. God is good.
He's good all the time. All the time he's good. There's no God
yes,
like our God. He's good. All I can
he
do
sure
is
a apostle.
Amen. I can say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, no God hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know God
yes,
has given
sir.
Us a great worship through you, so I'm hungry. Can you feed us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles with me to Jeremiah 29. I know that's a familiar scripture to a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, and the scripture says, "For I know the thoughts." That word thoughts right there in the Hebrew means plans. So God is saying, "I know the plans that I think toward you." That word think right there, it means to weave. He's weaved together a set of plans for your life, those who are listening. God has weaved together a set of plans for your life. He has purpose for your life. He has purpose for your life. You know, over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, Adam and Eve, they had purpose in the Garden of Eden. Before
mm-hmm.
the fall of man, before man sinned and messed up, God placed them in the garden and gave them purpose. God told them to dress the garden, or work the garden, take care of the garden. So, and God still has purpose for us today. Now, the scripture says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have think toward you, that I weave together for you, saith the Lord." Thoughts are
mm-hmm.
plans of peace. Plans of peace. That word peace is shalom. Plans of peace. That word shalom means it's prosperity, wealth, success. All of that wrapped up in there. Peace of mind. All of that is in that word shalom. All that is in that word peace right there. He says, "I have plans for peace for you." That's good. Not of evil. To give you an expected end, a future. A good future. So God
yes.
has plans for your life, those who are listening, and he has a good future planned out for you.
Yes.
The message God has given me for you is how are you going to act when it turns around? How are you going to act when it turns around? You know, some people get the big head. When God turns things around for them, they're just a big head. No one can tell them anything. God can't even tell them anything. They get the big head. Once God turns things around for you, how are you going to act? And so that's the message tonight. How are you going to act turns around when God turns things around for you? Look at the children of Israel. I tell you, they were in bondage for 400 years
yes.
in Egypt, had hard taskmasters. I tell you, those Egyptians, the Pharaoh worked them hard, and they were in bondage, in slavery, for 400
yes.
years. And they began to cry out to God. God heard them crying out, and he raised up a man named Moses. He sent Moses into Egypt and delivered them, brought them out of bondage, which they had been in for 400 years. Now Moses has gone into Egypt, and he's God's worked miracles. I mean, turned water into blood and sent pestilence on Egypt and hail and frogs and flies and lice and put sores, balls on their body. He delivered them out of Egypt. God delivered Yud Hevav, Yahweh, Elohim. He delivered the children of Israel out of bondage with a mighty hand.
Mighty hand.
Brought them into the wilderness, brought them through the Red Sea, fed them with manna from heaven. Once they were in the wilderness, made quail fall out the sky and fed the children of Israel. But then they got besides themselves. They began to act up after all that good God had done for them. And so that's why God gave me this message tonight. A lot of the saints today, a lot of the Christians today, God delivers them out of their mess, out of drugs, out of alcohol, whatever their trouble was, their problem was. God delivers them out of all their troubles. And then quite often they would act, Christians act up. Quite often they act up and get beside themselves and begin to act a fool. And so that's why God says, son, I want you to work on this message and get it together. How are you going to act when it turns around?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I want to show you in the word. Numbers chapter 14. How are you going to act when it turns around? What do I mean by that? When God delivers you, when he raises you up, when he promotes you, when he advances you and increases you. He's going to do that for every believer that is walking by faith. He is going to cause things to get better for you. Things may be good now, but God's going to make things even better. He says that he takes us from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from one level to a higher level. That's what God does for us. You have a bright future ahead of you, but how are you going to act when it turns around? When God
Amen.
Turns things around for you, promotes you, elevates you, calls you to be more successful than what you are right now, how are you going to act when it turns around? Look at Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 24. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel, what did they do? They murmured against Moses. Good God Almighty. The man that God used to deliver them out of bondage, now they're murmuring against him. Moses is the pastor of 3 million people or more in the wilderness. God has used Moses, this great man of God, to deliver Israel out of bondage, which they had been in for 400 years. But now we see them here in Numbers chapter 14 murmuring against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? Now they're complaining. Or with God we had died in the wilderness. They're complaining against Moses. They're complaining against God. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? They're mocking God, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Now God had delivered them out of bondage. They were under hard taskmasters in Egypt. Now they're complaining and talking about going back to Egypt, talking about it would be better for them that they were in Egypt. Then in verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And they begin to pray and they begin to talk to God. They begin to pray, and they begin to talk to God, and they begin to tell the people, don't do this, what you're doing. That's what they did first. They begin to tell the people, don't do this. This is not good, what you're doing. In verse 9, they're saying, don't rebel. Only rebel not against the Lord. They're telling them. Moses is telling the children of Israel, don't rebel against the Lord. In other words, what you're doing, you're not acting right. God has turned things around for you. You're not acting right now. You're not acting honorably. You're not honoring God by what you're doing. Now go over to verse 12 and look what God says. After the children of Israel, they're murmuring against Moses. They're talking against Moses. And no, go over to verse 10. Go over to verse 10. The scripture says, but all the congregation, they stoned them with stones. Look at them. They want to stone Moses. They want to stone Aaron. God used Moses to deliver them out of bondage. Now they're wanting to stone their pastor. They're wanting to stone the man of God. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now the glory of God has appeared. And what's going on, Apostle? They're talking about stoning Moses and Aaron. They're complaining and murmuring against God after all God has done for them. God had done miracles for them and set them free and brought them out of bondage. Now they're talking about stoning Moses and Aaron. They're talking against God. Now God appears in verse 10. I'm in Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. Now God has come on the scene. He's appeared before the congregation. He's appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Oh, God has shown up now. Now what is he going to do? Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? Oh, glory to God. God said, these people are provoking me. They're angering me. They're causing me to get angry by what they're doing. They're not acting right. I've delivered them out of their mess. I've delivered them out of bondage, and this is how they do me. I've worked miracles for them and delivered them out of bondage with a mighty hand, and this is how they do me. They're provoking God. And he says, how long will it be ere they believe me all the signs which I have showed among them? Look at verse 12. God says, I will smite them. God is upset now with the children of Israel because they're not what? They're not acting right. After God has turned things around for them, they're not acting right. So God is saying, I will smite them. He's telling Moses, I will smite them with pestilence. And I will disinherit them. What I was going to do with them, I'm going to take it back. I'm not going to do it for them now. I'm going to disinherit them. Why? Because they're coming against God. They're coming against Moses and Aaron. So God says, I'm going to smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. Disinherit them. You know what it means to be disinherited? That means God had planned to do some great things for them. They stand and they're getting ready to inherit something from God. The land flowing with milk and honey, houses that they built not full of goodly things. Now they're being what? Disinherited because of their murmuring and complaining and coming against God and Moses and Aaron. And he says, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. He says, I'm getting ready to get rid of them, Moses, and I'll make a greater nation for you and a mightier nation than they. God is getting ready to wipe them off the face of the earth. He's getting ready to get rid of them. But then Moses began to pray. He began to pray and talk to God, and then God changed his mind. And gave them a break. He said, I'm going to give them a break in verse 19. I'm going to pardon them what they did. They come against me, Moses. They came against you and Aaron. I'm going to pardon them to a certain extent. I beseech thee. Look at verse 19. He says, pardon, I beseech thee in the iniquity. No, that's not it right there. I want to show you where God, he pardons them. He gives them a break. He gives them a break. Well, I go ahead and tell you what happened. He said, I'm going to give them a break, but they're going to die at 70 and 80. They're going to die at 70 or 80 in the wilderness, only Caleb and Joshua and the little children that were born are going to get to go over into the promised land. That was their punishment for coming against God, for coming against Moses. God took it personally, when the children of Israel began to complain against Moses and Aaron, and they talked of stoning them. God took it personal, and he said, I'm going to send pestilence among them, kill them off, and I'm going to disinherit them. But Moses began to pray for them. He began to ask, talk to God on their behalf, and God gave them a break. He said, okay, I'm going to pardon them. I'm going to let them live a little longer. But at age 70 or 80, they're going to die, and they're not going to inherit the promised land. Why? Because when God had turned things around for them, they didn't act right. They began to act ungrateful and unappreciative, like a lot of saints do right today. They begin to murmur and complain and come against the leaders in the church, come against their pastor, talk about their pastor. And God is looking at you. He's looking at us. He's looking at us, how we act, how we behave after God turns things around for us. How are you going to act when it turns around? That's the message tonight. How are you going to act when God promotes you on your job, when God grows your ministry, when God increases the amount of money in your bank account, when God heals your body and heals your relationships, your marriages, and your relationships and your family? How are you going to act when it turns around? Are you going to turn on God and be unappreciative and ungrateful? How are you going to act when it turns around? I mean, those people begin to drop like flies at 70 and 80 years old when God had planned for them to live much longer and to inherit the promised land flowing with milk and honey. But they got disinherited because they didn't act right after God had turned things around for them. Only Joshua, Caleb, and the little children who were born in the wilderness got to go over and possess the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, with houses built full of goodly things, wells that they didn't even have to dig, a land flowing with milk and honey. How are you going to act when it turns around? Number one, I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to show you three ways and three things we should do after God has turned things around for us. We surely shouldn't do like Korah, those rebellious leaders in the camp of Yisrael, in the congregation of Yisrael. We surely shouldn't rebel against our pastor and our leaders. We surely shouldn't rebel against God. God took it personally. They were coming against Moses and Aaron, but God took it personal. Number one, how are you to act when it turns around for you, when God turns things around for you? Number one, don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget the Lord your God. Yisrael would often forget God and forget his laws, forget his word. Wouldn't they, Apostle? They would often do that.
Yeah.
They did that in the wilderness after God had brought them out of bondage. They forgot God's law. They forgot God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. Number one, don't forget the Lord your God. How are you to act when it turns around, when God turns things around for you? Number one, you surely don't want to forget the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. Listen to what it says. Well, look at verse 11. Back up to verse 11. Back up to verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. You'll get a clearer picture. Don't forget the Lord your God when he turns things around for you, when he elevates you and promotes you in life. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig that thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. When God turns things around for you and blesses you, look at verse 12. This is what you're not to do. He says, then beware lest I forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't forget the Lord your God, the one who raised you up and saved you and delivered you and promoted you. Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget him.
Don't forget him.
Don't forget him. Don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget his word. Don't forget him. So often the saints, they forget. There's an old saying, Apostle. There's an old saying that we say that people say in the world. And I know you know it, Apostle. They say, don't forget where you come from. Don't forget where you come from. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. When we were coming up, some people would tell us every now and then, wouldn't they, Apostle?
Yes,
don't forget where you come from. In other words, they were saying, don't forget where God has brought you from. Don't forget how God has delivered you and raised you up. You didn't pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. The Bible clearly tells us that promotion don't come from the north or the south, or east or the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. Anything that you got good, God gave it to you. Don't forget the Lord thy God. He's the one that giveth you the power to get wealth. Don't forget. Look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Listen to what it says. Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Don't forget God or his law. Don't forget God or his word. Don't forget God. If you do that, he'll bring your glory to shame. He'll bring you to shame.
Yes.
He'll bring you to shame. Don't forget God. And number two, how are we to act when it turns around? Number one, don't forget God. Number two, fear God. Fear God.
Fear God.
We got to fear God. Literally fear God. That word fear, first of all, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. We're to fear God. After God has delivered us and given us goodly houses and goodly land and a strong family and a healthy body, we need to fear him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 tells us that. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. We need to fear the Lord thy God after he turns things around for us. That word fear right there is yare in Hebrew. Yare. And it literally means to be afraid. Sure, it means to reverence God, but it also means to literally be afraid of him. What do you mean, be afraid of him? Be afraid of him enough to reverence him, whereby an individual recognizes the power and position of the individual. We need to recognize the power, what he could do to us if we mess up and disrespect him. We do need to be afraid of him enough to what? Reverence him. I'm afraid of you, God, that if I don't reverence you, that you could smash me like a bug or things could go real bad for me. We are to be afraid of him enough to what? Reverence him. That Hebrew word is yare, and it literally means to be afraid, to stand in awe, to reverence, whereby an individual recognizes the power and position of that individual. We need to recognize the power and the position of God Almighty. He's holy and he's all powerful. He's the God of the whole universe. He's God all by himself, and there has never been no other God. He's the Almighty. And we got to recognize his power and his position and be afraid enough to what? Reverence him. Oh, glory to God. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12 tells us that. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12 says, and he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. Talking about Abraham, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham feared God. He feared God. How are you to act when it turns around, when God turns things around for you? Number one, don't forget God. Number two, we need to fear God. And my final point, we need to serve God. We need to serve God. We need to serve him after he's turned things around for us. We ought to serve God. Before Adam and Eve fell in the garden, even before they sinned, when God created Adam and Eve, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, apostle, that he placed them in the Garden of Eden for them to dress it. And that Hebrew word to dress it means to work it. That Hebrew word to dress is abad. To serve is abad. Abad. It means to, they worked that garden before they failed into sin. Before they sinned, they had a job. They had purpose in the Garden of Eden to dress it, to work it. How would you ask when God turns things around? We ought to have enough sense to what? Serve him. Serve God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, Adam and Eve, they just weren't in that in the garden eating marshmallows and having picnics. They had work to do. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 shows us that God gave them work to do. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, listen to what it says. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it, to work it, to cultivate it. God gave him something to do. How are you to act when God turns things around for you? You need to serve God. And my final scripture, Deuteronomy 6:13, we need to serve God when God turns things. And a lot of people, they quit going to church. They spend more time washing the car that God gave them and don't even go to church to serve God. Deuteronomy 6:13, they forget who brought them up. They forget where they come from. God give them a house, give them a job. When they didn't have a job, they went to the church. The pastor prayed for them. They got a job. Then all of a sudden, they stopped missing. They start missing church. Stop coming to church. You're not to do that. When God turns things around for you, you need to serve him. Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him." And serve him. How are you to act? How are you going to act when it turns around for you? This is the way you're supposed to act. Number one, don't forget God. And number two, fear God. And number three, serve God. Abad. Abad is the Hebrew word for serve. Serve God. Work. It means to work. Work. Do what God has given you to do. How are you going to act when it turns around? And that's the message God wanted me to give.
Amen. Well, tonight I want to just give God the glory and thank God for everything that God has done tonight. God say, know the plans. I know your purpose. I want you to have some peace. But how are you going to ask when this thing turn around? And God is
saying, how are you
going to
ask?
Turn around. And God is saying to us, he said, we got to remember to fear God. We got to do it. And we got to serve
God. Yes,
but we got to be
yes,
afraid. We got to reverence him. We got to reverence him.
Yes, sir.
And so tonight, along with the pastor being on, Pastor Irvin, are you there?
Why, certainly. How are you guys doing tonight?
How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good.
Hey, Pastor, I brought your buddy in from Ohio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, Rick?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Say hello,
hey, Rick,
everybody.
How you doing?
Oh, good. Real good. Praise God.
Well, wonderful. Real good. How's everything in Ohio?
Going really good. Real good. Been busy. They did an article on my son in Saturday's newspaper here, and we got TV stations calling and everything, so it's been really busy.
Well, good, good. He's doing well?
Oh, yeah. He's working out with me and everything. He's doing really good.
Oh, praise God. That's good.
Driving.
That's good.
He's not supposed to be driving until like August, and he's driving one of his cars today.
Well, that's all right. You know, hey, the progress is progress. When we stop to slow somebody down, you know, and set them down in a chair, and then they start to retreat. I mean, you can see that with people that retire, you know. Of course, I'm from Michigan, so.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you're in South Michigan, as far as, you know, Ohio there.
Well, Ohio State. Buckeye country.
But
then, definitely Buckeye country.
But anyhow, you know, the of course, Detroit, the Motor City, where they used to have all the factories and everything.
Yeah.
The average man that worked 30 or 40 years or 30 years in the shops there, when they retired, their life span after 30 years and they retired was 7 years. Most of them passed away because they just sat down and they figured their life was over. And instead of encouraging them and keeping them going and trying to new things and go on and go forth, they just sit down and their life is over. So when people have been sick and whatever else, it's always that good encouragement. You know, say, yeah, go for it, you know. Be careful, but go for it.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
You in Detroit?
No, I'm in Houston. I used to live about 60 miles north of Detroit, up in Pontiac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a sister that lived there.
Where, in Pontiac?
She's in Pontiac. Yeah.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was born and raised there in Pontiac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
You liking that weather then out west then?
I'm enjoying this weather. It's raining right now, but I tell you what, I'd rather shovel rain than all that snow.
Yeah, hopefully it's over for this year, hopefully, but it can be good weather right now, and then in April you still have snow coming down, so I don't know how.
Oh.
We still got April.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know. Well, check this out, believe this or not. This was in June, my grandmother passed away, and this was years ago. And the funeral procession was a 30-mile from where she was at to where they buried her. But anyhow, it was 72 degrees, nice, beautiful summer day. And as we drove down the road to go to the cemetery and to get to the place where the cemetery, it started getting cloudy. Then it started raining. Then it started thundering and lightning. By the time we got to the grave site, there was snow on the ground.
Oh, wow. And that was June?
That
wow.
was in June.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that's
you
crazy.
Bet.
That's
yeah, what, Yep, the weather changed in a heartbeat, man.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Anyhow. Well, praise God.
So, but I talked to you the last time I called in, right? Last week.
Pardon me?
You that travel? Was that you that travels around and?
Right. And, yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do a lot of disaster ministry, and I travel all over the world. In fact, right now, actually, I'm working with another minister, and we're trying to build a warehouse in Central America and put a orphanage in down there. And it's unfortunate that it's easier because they don't have all the restrictions at building orphanages
yeah.
and stuff as they do here in the U.S. I mean, there's so many kids and that are lost into the streets and they're fatherless and homeless and whatever else. And it's hard because, you know, they got all these restrictions on you in order to be able to house them and everything else. But in these other countries, it's so much easier that you can do those things. In fact, there's a ministry that I work with in India, and when the guy told me what he did, he sent me a picture of all these kids sitting on the floor. There must have been 25 or so, and they were all eating rice and beans and whatever else they had, and chicken curry, I think, whatever. I don't know what came out of it, but anyhow, he told me, he says, all those kids, he went to the garbage dump. And he took them off the garbage dump because their parents took them to the garbage dump and threw them away. They sat there and he says, this is your new home. There's your breakfast.
My.
There's your lunch. And there's your dinner.
No,
and he went out and rescued these kids. And he brought them in and he's loved on them. He's getting them education. I got two other ministries over there basically doing the same thing. But when this pastor told me what he was doing, I just broke down. I said, man, I said, you know, what does this world come to? You know, when we throw kids onto a garbage dump and say, here's your new home. And if you live, cool. If you don't, that's all right. They'll bury you in garbage and they'll just eat off the top of you. And that's their attitude. And it's a sad state of affairs. And we're seeing it, and it's getting worse in the world, you know, today.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do in the Philippines. I'm going to get that going over there and build not just for the kids, but for the families who don't have anything.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because of the crooked government, you know, so.
Right, right. And you know, like I said, it's just easier. You know, people say, why do you do it over there in these other countries? You don't, because our hands are tied. Here in the United States, our hands are tied. Look at in Houston, it was in Lauderdale or Miami, and I'm not sure if they've done it in Detroit yet or not, but the homeless, you can't feed the homeless anymore. In Houston, they passed the ordinance, you can't feed the homeless. They have to go. You have to have a commercialized kitchen. You have to have a license, and so on and so forth. And then there's only certain days that you can go out into certain areas. You know, no more sitting at the church and making lunches and sandwiches and putting an apple in a bag and sending it out and trying to get these people on the streets and get them a meal. I mean, they've passed ordinances. They've arrested a pastor, I think it was in Miami, four times for that, until I think they finally got the ordinance reversed, saying that it's not right, that it's unhumane not to be able to feed the homeless. You know, I mean, we're all human.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
and like I said, our nation has become so disenchanted with the reality. They've come into their own little world, and you know, if your house isn't up to a certain standard, well then, you might as well pack your bags and move because they don't want you in the neighborhood anymore.
Yeah, United States. I think before being in the United States, but yeah, they got more rules than some of these other third world countries.
Too close to your mouth. Go ahead.
What's that?
I see you breathing too hard on your mic.
Oh, Okay. Probably me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thank God for world missions. It's all about helping others.
Yes, it is. That's all it is. You know, we put ourselves to the side, and we can get more done when we stop thinking about ourselves and thinking about others. You know yourself as well as I do that when you go on a missions, I mean, a lot of things are provided for you. I know you spoke about that you had to pay for a lot of things on your trips and that, and so do I. It comes out of my pocket. About 90% of it comes out of my own pocket. But when you tell somebody that you're doing something. When I went to the Philippines after the tsunami and 10,000 people had perished, a guy called me up and I was trying to organize to get over there to the Philippines. And I sit there and he asked me, he says, hey, he says, you going? I said, yes. I contacted the UN trying to get a flight out with the UN if I can get a flight. And he says, don't worry about it. He says, I got your plane ticket. He says, I want to go with you. And so God, you know, that scripture where Jesus tells the disciples, don't worry about taking two pairs of pants, two shoes. Don't worry about taking two purses. Don't worry about taking anything. It's all taken care of. And that's exactly what he means. Because even when I went to Haiti after the earthquake and went there to minister to the lost and the families, there's 200 almost... almost 300,000 people lost their lives, and instantly over 400,000 orphans, and hardly anybody's doing anything about it.
The United States spends a lot of money, but they say the Haitians are taking the money.
It's so corrupt and they're a lot of things. It's no, don't get me wrong. I'm not spurring anything, but the Unicare and USAID and all them others, they basically bankrupt Haiti, because after the first civil war they had there, and the first I think it was an earthquake or something, they sent in all this aid in there. And they found it was a money profit thing to do, and so they just dumped on the market all the rice and all the different foods and so on and so forth, and it literally put the farmers out of business, because they had a good sugar cane crop, they had a good other entities there, and they were selling their stuff to the U.S. and other parts of the Caribbean and stuff like that. But when all these major, like I said, the UN and everything else came in there, they literally bankrupt the country, because they kept giving all this aid and their money and their food line and everything else, you know, become non-prosperous, because all that aid was there. They didn't have to go and work the fields and cut the sugar cane and pick the bananas or whatever else they had there to maintain their livelihood. And it's corrupted a lot of that nation that way, and it's been that way for years. And it's hard to get them out of that state of mind. I was there, like I said, I was there with the pastors when Pastor Renee, he sat there and he said, him and four other pastors, they went to the president, the palace, because the palace was ruined during the earthquake. And they said, look, it took a president to dedicate Haiti to a pig. It's going to take a president to sit there and dedicate this nation back to God. And they had, believe this or not, I got a CD of it. In fact, I got there 5 days after this happened. The president walked out onto the balcony, and he rededicated Haiti to God. Wow. They had over a million and some people sitting out there after 5 days of a prayer vigil. Over a million and a half people stood out there, and by the palace in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince, and he rededicated Haiti back to God. But you don't hear about that. All you hear is about the voodoo and the corruption and everything else. You know, mm-hmm. when you start talking positive and just looking positive things onto that era, well, we can see a bigger change, you know. But you got to break that mentality of hey, we don't have to work. You know, it's given to us, and it's a poor nation. It really is. But it could be a prosperous nation
mm-hmm.
once again. But like I said, you know, when I went to Haiti anyhow for that, once again, they asked me if I was going. I said, yeah. I said, I'll get a plane ticket. They said, don't worry about it. We got a plane ticket. So everywhere I've gone, when I'm doing the work of the Lord, God has provided. He's provided a place for me to stay. He's provided everything except for what I wanted to put in my belly for myself. I mean, food was there, whatever else I wanted. Anything that I wanted personally, I paid for it out of my own. But a lot of the stuff came, and I never asked anybody. I just told people where I was going, what I was doing, and it just came. And I wanted to tell you that last week when we talked, that God's going to change things around for you, because as you're doing the work of the Lord and you're doing it for the Lord, people will start giving into you, and they will start giving into your ministry. And that I do know, because it's scripture. If you're doing it for the Lord, and you're doing it not unto yourself to build something for yourself, but any recognition for yourself, God is going to supply everything that you need. He will do it for anybody. He will do it for anybody.
Yeah,
you know,
I've never asked nobody. You need to let people know what you're doing. But I feel that same way too. I believe God is going to, you know. I leave next week for my meeting over there in Manila with the bishop over there, and we'll see what happens about this church. He wants me to pastor there and go from there.
Oh, praise God. Let me pray for you real quick.
Okay, thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for such a man of God, Lord. A man who's laid down his life to give everything up, Lord, to go to Manila, to be able to minister, Lord. Father, what an honor to be able to minister to your children, Lord, that will lead and guide them, Lord. Lord, I ask right now for the provisions, and I thank you for the provisions that you're being made for Rick right now, Lord, and for everything that's coming about that you have for him in his ministry, Lord. We thank you right now for all the provisions. We thank you for the wisdom and the courage that he needs and what he will need to endure there, Lord. Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing in his life, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, I ask right now, Lord, would you wrap your arms around him, Father, that you'll hold him, that you will carry him when he is tired, Lord. Lord, I ask that you put your hand upon his children. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this precious man of God. Father, just the healing that he needs in his family's lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in his son's life, Lord, the testimony unto you. And the testimony that he gives, that he had the courage and understanding and had faith to know, Lord, that it is you, Lord, and you alone who healed this young man. Father, with that courage, with that same anointing, and with that same determination, Lord, we can't ask for a better man to go to Manila, Lord, to serve you and to serve the people in Manila that would bring changes into the world, Lord, for everyone that is saved, that's prosperous, Lord, into the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Amen.
So. Hey, God is going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know he will. So, anyhow.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm gonna try to go into a little bit of a message that I had that God had given me, if I can. You know, I was looking in the Bible, and in here there's a, this is the holy pages. You know, they give you the first. It says holy matrimony, and then it says the wife's name, the husband's name. Then it goes into births and marriages of other other families, and then the death notices. And you know, this is things that chronic are for people that do their lives, and that's what the Bible is. It has a history of all the people in Jesus' life from beginning to end. Everybody that is in that Bible is written in that Bible for a reason. And it's for an order. You know, the other day I was sitting in my car at the truck stop up there in New Caney, and I was reading the Bible, sitting there, just kind of sitting there. And this man walked by, and he had a duffel bag with him and a pair of old raggy pants. And I sit there and I looked at him, and a still voice inside said, "That's an angel." Because I know the night before I said, "God," I said, "Would you send me some angels, Lord?" And I sit there and I watched him, and he disappeared, and then he come back around. He disappeared, and he come back around. He was talking on the telephone, and finally he was standing at my window, and he said, "Hey," he was Mexican. He said, "Hey, is there any Mexican car dealerships around here?" And I said, "Yeah, there's quite a few." He says, "Do you know where they're at?" And I told him. He goes, "Well, could you take me to one?" And I sat there for a second, and I went, "Sure, get in." And we went to about five or six different dealerships. And they weren't just Mexican. They were a little bit of anybody, you know, who was a used car. So he was looking for a used car, about $3,000. He was going to pay cash for it.
Mm-hmm.
And every place that we went, I felt comfortable with this man. Don't know why. He put gas in my car. He asked me if I wanted to eat. He says, "You know, you need to eat. You're hungry. You need to eat." And I said, "No." I said, "I'm good." And I just felt comfortable with this man for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't even know why. I sat there and said, "Yeah, okay." Other than the fact that still voice said, "That's an angel." So anyhow, like I said, we went to the first dealer, and the dealer sitting there wouldn't even talk to him. He looked at the guy, and all of a sudden he copped an attitude like, he got mad and angry at the guy. And the guy, all he asked is, "Hey," says, "you got any used cars, you know, for about $3,000. And the guy says, who are you? What? And he got very belligerent. So we left. We went to another dealer. And it was the same reaction. I went to five different dealerships with this man. And it was the same reaction in all five. And the last one I went to, the guy sat there and said, "Hey, you're going to be responsible for this man to drive this car." And I said, "No." I said, "This business deal is between you and him." I said, "I just brought him here to buy a car." And he says, "Well, I'm not getting in the car with him." And he sat there and he took the keys from the guy and left.
Mm-hmm. This was the dealer?
This is the other day, four or five dealers. But anyhow, we sit there and we talked for a little bit. You know, and I was talking about the Lord, and he says, "So you seem to know everything." And I said, "No." I said, "I don't know everything." I said, "The only thing I know is what God reveals to me." And I said, "And every day he changes. He makes something new and something different." And I says, "I don't know everything." And I said, "In fact, I know ministers that have been preaching for 30, 40 years. And so they open up the Bible, and all of a sudden they look at a word, a passage in the Bible, and it says, And they say they've never seen it before. And it says it puts a whole different perspective on their ministries."
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be open to the Word of God. And we can't be open to the Word of God if we're constantly holding on to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly holding on to the spirit of the flesh. You know, we just celebrated the resurrection of Christ and the first fruit of Christ. And the first fruit of Christ is having faith and believing and the understanding and knowing that we come into Christ and Christ has come into us. That we're no longer basically a terrestrial body, but we are celestial. Even though we are a terrestrial, we're still here in the natural. But if we're constantly walking in the supernatural, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, then we basically become a celestial body here in the natural. Then it's written right there in Chronicles, if you read it. Everything in there, or in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, everything God says, let's see, let me see. But God gives us the body as it is, as has it pleases him, and to everything a seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of the men, another of fish, or flesh of the beasts, another of the fish, another of the birds. And there is also a celestial body and a terrestrial body, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is the other, and one means heavenly, and the other one is earthly. So if we're walking in the flesh, in the natural flesh, see, I teach a lot of things, and we teach everything I teach is of the supernatural and not of the natural. Because if we're walking in the natural, we're walking in the terrestrial body and what we were born in. It takes us back to the marriage of the husband and the wife, and then the offsprings of the children. And we can see that in Chronicles of all the different generations right up to Jesus.
Amen.
And each one of us, 14 generations. But Jesus was the 13th. We're the first fruit of the new generation. You know, if you want to go back even further, when Noah on the ark, it was only 8 generations to Noah. He was, and 8 is the number of new beginnings. 13 generation is many blessings, even though the in the natural, the witches and the warlocks and the pagans, the 13 is an unlucky number. They don't have a 13th floor. They don't have this. They don't have that. They twisted it and they turned it around. But in Christ, 13 is everything. Is prosperous. Is blessings. Look it up. Read it. So if we're walking in the natural, we cannot inherit the supernatural. As much as that, those we walk in the supernatural, then we inherit the kingdom of heaven here on earth. As I preached to you a week or so ago, I said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If Christ is in me and I'm in Christ, then everything that God has sent down when Jesus rose to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit with the promise of God. He sent the kingdom of heaven, and we abide in Christ. We have the very same kingdom of heaven is in our hand. And we have the power. We have that power to sit there and to heal. We have the power to raise the dead. And all I was reading the better talk before, we can go back in what I was. What's that?
I'm listening to you.
So anyhow, we go back. We can go back further into what I was talking about. That if we're walking after Christ, every day is a new day. But if we're holding on to yesterday and we're walking in the flesh, we can never succeed to go any further than what we can see in front of us.
Amen.
We can never, ever see. I mean, we look back at these in the the Arabic countries and even in Israel, the tribes are fighting amongst each other, things that happened 2,000 years ago. We're seeing here in the United States things that happened 200 years ago, and that they're still fighting, and they're still sitting there blaming one another and they're still trying to crucify. They're still trying to sit there and you know, crucify the innocent.
Yeah.
And not being able to go forward and then have the forgiveness and the understanding and knowledge and understanding and knowing that we don't have to live in the past. We can continue to go forward and we can walk in the Spirit of Christ. And we can be celestial beings in these celestial bodies. Something to think about.
Oh, yeah.
So there's nothing we can't do. There's nothing that we can't do in Christ. Nothing. It's written. There is nothing that we can't do.
You know, when
that's right. We know when you look in the Bible, and I sat there and I spoke this on the show. I don't know if you're listening or not, but that Jesus gave power to the disciples after he healed the leopards. He gave power to the disciples to heal and cast out demons. They weren't full of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit didn't enter them until the day of Pentecost. So at the day of Pentecost, when in our day of Pentecost, even yours and mine, our day of Pentecost is when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not a set date for, it is a record date. It's a date that was in the record. But your Pentecost was the day when you received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, and your day of deliverance was the day when you when you received Jesus.
That's true. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so we will sit there and take those two numbers. We'll take those two, just those two alone. That we are the first fruit of Christ. We die to ourselves in order to be able to achieve and to be able to be a part of Christ. We die to ourselves in order for us to live in Christ. We are the first fruit of Christ. And a lot of people have taken that point of being that you have to die. When you die and you're resurrected into heaven, you go to heaven, and we'd be the, no, we're the first fruit here on earth. We are the disciples of Christ. We are the children of Christ. We have been chosen by Christ. I know for a fact that I had never intended to be in a minister, being in ministry. God kept on tapping me on the shoulder for years, and I kept ignoring him. One day, I opened my eyes and I said, well, I guess I'm in ministry. Now, that's the truth. So, because he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, because I was looking at the fleshly world, and even in our own circumstances, we go, oh, why me, Lord, why me? Stop looking at the fleshly things and start saying, thank you, Lord, because there's something in this that is going to make me stronger, it's going to make me better, and have a clearer and better understanding as to your will, as what you want me to do. We have to let go. We have to let go. We have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're holding on to this world, as long as you're holding on to the natural, you will never be able to succeed in that, in the supernatural, what Christ has for us. We will never be able to enjoy the resurrection birth in Christ that's in us if we don't let go of the natural and we start walking in the supernatural.
My God. My God.
That's my message, guys. It's kind of short, okay. But, you know, we took up a little time with talking to Rick, which I enjoy. Rick, I appreciate talking to you, and hopefully we'll get together sometime.
You know, when you want to. Anytime.
Rick, I know you got something. Lord, I've placed on your mind. You because, Rick,
Yeah.
So I know the Lord has been dealing with you about the healing and how to get people into the healing. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, when I told the testimony last week concerning my son and at the hospital when he got healed, when his heart stopped beating, and we prayed that he got healed and his heart started back up again. And as I was in that at the hospital those 2 days, when I stayed all night with him those 2 days, I began to pray, Lord. And after seeing all the sick kids and the sick people at the Cleveland Clinic, I said, Lord, bless me with that gift of healing. I want that gift of healing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see people healed. And then I get home a couple of days later. I call my cousin, who didn't know anything about what was going on. Before I got to say anything, he says, Rick, God spoke to me and let me know that you don't just have the gift of prophecy, but now you have the gift of healing. And he never done that before. In all these years, that these 30-something, 40 years that he's been saved, he never gave me a word. That was the first time that he ever gave me a word. He said, Rick, God spoke to me concerning you. You now have the gift of healing. And people in my family that I've been praying for that's been sent home to hospice are now healed. The doctor came and took my aunt. The doctor told my aunt she's no longer in hospice. He sent her home months ago for her to die. And he said she's no longer. He went from telling her that she's dying till she's going to live now. This is hospice care. I mean, stuff like that. Another family member, who is this? Oh, man. It's just everybody in the family. I'm talking about major stuff like cancers and stuff like that. Just getting healed. And when I went to see my aunt last week, she said she wanted everybody to come see her. I'm thinking, what's going on? I get out there, and the doctor gave her a great report. She no longer needs those people at her house anymore. I said, what? I said, he sent you home to die a few months ago. Here you is. She's traveling. She's been traveling. She done been a few places. I'm like, man. And so these doctors that tell them family members that but I broke that curse in the name of Jesus. I broke the generational curse.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. And it's just happening. It's just and things are happening quick. It's not taking a long time. It's like a quick thing. It's not a long. It's just been quick. And I just tell people, hey, to pray in the name of Jesus and whatever you're praying, believe. We all got that mustard seed of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got a mustard seed of faith. God said, with a mustard seed of faith, we can move mountains. We all got that mustard seed. And that's, you know, that's a start. And we can pray and believe and see mountains move. And that's all I wanted to say. Just believe and pray and those things that you've been needing, desiring, and praying for other people and your family, continue to pray and believe and command Satan to take his hands off of them. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. Command him to take us. He's not going to run us. We're going to run him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. So I just thank God for seeing my aunt last week, and she's totally healed.
My God.
Wow. She hadn't been able, for 6 months she's been laid up. Now she up and around and doing everything, house clean. It's like, wow. So I'm just thankful to God to all this. There's no longer a death sentence. And I said, my family should live a long, prosperous life.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of them coming home and dying, they living. I mean, they living. I mean, this has been, it's been something. That's all I got to say. This has really been, he's really been hearing my prayers, and he just don't hear my prayers. I'm his child, just like everybody else. That's like you guys are, just listening, and he hear your prayers too. And I'm just thankful I'm going next week, and you know, I've been single for a while. I've been praying about marriage, so it's about time that that wife comes along. God's been letting me know that's going to be coming along.
Amen.
You know.
Thank you.
I've been keeping my eyes over there on the Philippines, but God, they have somebody right here in the United States for me. And so just the other day, I said, well, I'm going to decide to just whatever God wants for me. It may not be in the Philippines. The woman may not be there. I'm right here. You know, I'm a successful businessman, minister right here in the United States. God may have somebody for me here. So I'm open to that now for the right woman in my life, you know. And so I just thank God for everything he's doing in my life. I'm thankful, really. I did my state every year when you have a nursing home or a group home, when you're taking care of people. I own a nursing home and take care of the MRDD patients. You have to do a review. And so this is my going on my 13th year. My review passed again this year. So they gave me a nice, really nice budget patients that I have. And I just thank God for having my own business and, you know, being able to hire people, you know, mostly my kids right now, hiring people to work for me when I'm away. And I just thank God for the state of Ohio, how they contract me out my business. And it's really been a blessing for me to be able to be the CEO of my own business. And the private investigation license that I have, when I want to work private investigation and my music, I'm doing, God has let me do everything that I wanted to do. So I just thank God for all the opportunity that he's given me. So continue to pray for my personal, situation. I'm seeking for a wife to be right by my side. I think I need it now because I'm traveling so much. I need that woman beside me. I don't need to be out there alone too much like that.
Amen.
You know. So keep me in prayer about that. So.
We sure will.
We sure will. I know that I've been married 48 plus years and going in my 49th year. And every day is a different day. Every day is different. But the belief that God is and can. And you know, Rick, one of the things that impressed me about what you said our God is using you now. Not tomorrow.
Okay.
He's using you now.
Yeah, he definitely is.
And the now is the now. So, as we've been praying and believing, we're believing that in somewhere in Houston, in the near future, we're going to have a big meeting down there. And they said, everybody, we want Azusa Street. I was just going to be Azusa Street, but you got to Azusa Street faith. You got to go through something to get it.
Yeah,
you got to come on out. Those who want to see it happen. Well, I want so-and-so. I said, no, ain't no such thing as so-and-so. God's going to put the person he wants there that will glorify him. And I believe that I believe. And I know that God is raising up a people. And because I know this, I say this to them. Rick, tell us some more about what the Lord wants to do with him if we can find a way to get him down into Houston. When I went to that graveyard of William Seymour, I've been told about him for a long, long time. Everybody said, if you get a chance to meet that one-eyed man, I said, nobody in Houston would tell you the man was dead and gone. Fool I was, fool I been. But I went to investigate and found out he's dead and gone. And everybody went to my landlord's grave. Well, I said, if that's the case, what happened with some other people, I'm going up there. I had no money or nothing, but I believe God. And God allowed me to go all the way to Los Angeles, California, to the grave site. And I went there. I got pictures and everything. It's in California. I got it on my computer, and God and Grove, I think it was. But it's on a place you would never think that he was buried at. I went there and I got in a grave, laid on top of a grave, man and brother. We prayed and I laid on top of a grave, and all of a sudden, kaboom! I was transported out of my body into a place I've never seen before. It was so clear and so beautiful. All I remember was I began to speak in tongues. But I began to see things. Every soul, I look around, I said, Lord, it was so quiet and peaceful. I had to stay. I was up there for about 30, 40, almost an hour. All of a sudden, I tried to get out. Got off the bridge. I tried to start back walking. I couldn't walk. My knees look at this gave out. I fell back again. I remember that. Next thing I know, I had to lean against the tree. That's for the whole 2 hours out there, more or less. And then all of a sudden, the brother come back to sense where we was and try to get in the car. I couldn't even go nowhere. Car wouldn't start for us. We just said, okay, now, whatever you want to do, we stay there. Then we start the car, boom, car started. I said, God had a purpose. And what I'm saying is, when God gives you something to do, regardless of what nobody says, I went out there to find out for myself. And I found out it is possible. It is possible. That anointing is transferable. When I come to Houston, start raising the revival, and everybody got a glimpse. I didn't know that people that was hating me. I didn't know people wanted me dead. I didn't know it. But when I discovered it, it was too late. But I'm still here, and I thank God, because I know what God showed that's going to happen in this city. This city is going to move to a greater place than ever before. All over the United States, all over in Europe, all over in South America, all over in Alaska and different places. But it's up to us. If we want it, it's a cost involved. Can you leave food for long for 3 days? Can you stay in prayer moment by moment by moment by moment? Can you believe that God will give us more? What's the matter? You ain't got to go this year. You got to clean your vessel out so that the fullness of God can be in your life.
My son, I say unto you this day that you will go forth, saith the Lord thy God. I will open up many doors for you. I will open up doors on your station there, saith the Lord God of Messiah. There will be people that listen to your station that will be a blessing to you, saith the Lord thy God. And anything that you ask for, they will bless you and help you with, saith the Lord thy God. I will open up this door, saith the Lord thy God. I've heard your prayers, saith the Lord thy God. My son, I will open this door for you speedily, saith the Lord thy God. Lisa, I will protect Lisa, saith the Lord thy God, Lisa. My son, I say unto you this day that you will receive thousands of dollars from me. I will open up this door for you. And you will help and you will bless many, saith the Lord thy God. Amen.
I will see you. And I'll do as I said. I won't forget the Lord. I won't forget the Lord. I will serve the Lord. But I'm afraid, Lord. It's in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Amen.
Tanya, I will take you out of this situation. You will no longer be abused, Tanya. Tanya, I will fight your battle, saith the Lord thy God. Matana na malishindana. Jena na la polo shitana baloko moshitana. Moshitana malo tana balo jane. Bama, Jema, Lisa, John, Lisa, I will lift you up out of your problems, Lisa. Yeah, I say unto you this day that you will receive Father, Tola de Panamasia. You will receive the Panamasi Tola. You will receive the help that you need, saith the Lord thy God, and I will bring you out, saith the Lord thy God. Nana Moshitana, ne dana maloshitane. Manana shita, my shantai. It is your time, saith the Lord thy God. It is your time. My son, my son, my son, my son. It is your time. It is your time. Atana malogoramasila masitalai. I will place people in your ministry that will help you, saith the Lord thy God. You have asked me for help concerning your radio ministry. I will place people in your life that will help you, saith the Lord thy God.
Speak it, Lord. I will see it, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. All right. I'll put my information out there again. Anybody want to get in touch with me? It's 234-804-2008. That's 234-804-2008. Minister Rick Harvey. Praise God. Yes.
Well, Rick, what are you doing? What are you doing during the daytime?
During the day, it's should be free during the day at 3 o'clock. We got that TV show. We're taking the TV show at 3 o'clock.
Oh, well, okay. Well, let me let you go ahead and finish it up. And I know God has put it on your heart for some other people online that beloved sister that God has hooked us together, and the pastor, the Apostle Newsom, is on there. I know God has a word for them in prayer. I know they're listening. And also, Pastor Irvin Williams. We're just believers. We're just believers. And we're looking for that great revival.
Okay. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, let me pray for them. Lord, we pray for everybody that's listening right now. We pray for salvation, deliverance, healing, and miracles, direction. Lead them, guide them, direct them where you want them to be, where you want them to go, what you want them to do. Strengthen them that they can do all things through Christ, which strengthen them. Open up doors that they've been praying for to be open. And Satan, we command you by the authority and by the power of Jesus Christ to take your hands off their minds, their bodies, their souls, their direction. In the name of Jesus, Lord, strengthen them that they can do all things through Christ, which strengthen them. My son, I say unto you, I say unto you this day that you will go free. You will go free. You will go free. You will go free. Landana kana mandolo ushanana malo ushanai. Oshanai lande. Oshanai la shaitana malo kora matila shaitana masia. That relative that's been locked up and somebody's been praying for him to go free, he's about to go free. Lashanana malo ushanana malo ushanana masitana li. Li, li, li. Lokona mashande lo shandai. My son, he shall go free. He shall go free, saith the Lord thy God.
Amen. Wow. Praise God. Anybody got
Amen.
Any questions to make to him before we get off the line?
Praise the Lord. Yes, if he would give his name and number again. God bless you, Brother Rick.
Oh, praise God. Yes, 234-804-2008.
Okay.
That's Brother Rick Harvey.
Oh, Hardy is the last name.
Harvey.
Oh, Harvey. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Reverend Princess Love. I'm just Pastor Hunter has just been telling us so much. And we're sorry we missed you last Wednesday, but I'm sure enjoyed you tonight. And we thank God. And we do touch and agree with you also on your wife and being able to move forward.
Yeah, I feel that time. I've been enjoying my singleness, but I feel now that it's time. Just putting it out there. It's time now.
Thank God.
I'm eligible, but I'm doing good in my life, and I thank God. And I said, well, I'm able to take care of somebody and to be a blessing to somebody. So this is the time. This
God,
is the time.
Amen.
Thanks, God.
He's able, as you have seen, God is able. Oh, and how old is your son that was on the operating table that God healed?
He turned 23 on March the 21st.
Oh, he was 20. Oh, praise God.
23,
yeah. Oh, wow. That's and this happened on what day did this
miracle? Surgery was on February the 5th. He was thinking it was his last. You know, he was preparing to die because he knew the heart was so bad. And they was, with him being grown, we wasn't going to his doctor's appointments with him because he didn't want us to go. And then he was grown. We couldn't get we didn't know what the doctor was telling him.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It was a bad situation. We knew it was a bad heart. But when they opened it up, it was even worser.
Wow.
And so with all the, you know, in the natural, especially the night before, the devil tried to attack me, like just seeing his name in the obituary. I said, no, I'm not accepting that. I just fought with the devil all night with the word of God. In Jesus' name, my son should live and not die. In Jesus'
mm-hmm.
name, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can live without fear through this. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Because I serve God, I don't have to be in fear through this. It was just mm-hmm. a long battle and long surgery. It's, like I said, especially when I got there and the doctor told me we lost him. Still, I said no, still. That's when I still stood on God's word. And then 30 minutes later, he was back. And I feel that God was testing my faith. He was testing my faith.
Yeah.
That's what I feel because that surgery, all morning long, it was going good. And when I got there, he died.
Wow.
And I just continued to confess and believe and commanded death to take his hands off of him and thank God for my son being alive and doing exercise with me and driving and, you know, I'm so good to have my son with me.
Yeah, my God is great.
People don't have to accept
that,
you know, what the devil put on people. When it's God, when God's time to take you, he's going to take you. But when the devil try to come and take you prematurely, no, we don't have to accept the devil's time.
We
don't have to accept what the devil put on us. No.
Amen.
I just thank God for my child. You know, don't nobody want to be losing no kids that young, you know, because of Satan.
Thank
you know, if it was God's time to take him, he would have took him, but it wasn't.
Mm-mm.
You know,
the devil has a plan. Is he strong in the faith? This made his faith stronger, too.
Yeah, he's been in the newspapers telling his testimony. Tomorrow, big TV, the whole state of Ohio, TV news, CBN is talking about coming down, 700 Club. And, he
mm-hmm.
has another show on Thursday, 40,000 viewers on that. But, yeah, he said he wants to be a preacher now.
Praise
Amen.
God. And what is
Amen.
His name? What is?
That's Little Rick.
Oh, listen,
Rick Harvey, yeah.
Yes. Praise
yeah, if you look
God.
In the CantonRep.com on March the 26th, his whole story, they gave him a whole page.
Wow.
A whole page. And so.
Wow.
The whole, when the reporter came over here the last week, we didn't know she was giving him a whole page in the front page, you know. She put his picture in the front page and a big story on page B4. She gave him the whole page. I was like, wow.
What a mighty God we see.
Well, that was something. Wow. So all this other press is calling. It seemed like every day we get a call from another TV station or, you know, magazines and stuff. And you know, it's just been something.
My God.
That's
my
amazing.
God.
Amen. It lets me know how much God cares for us. It lets me know how much God cares for us. I mean, he really cares that we're happy and that we have joy and that we don't be sad. And he really cares. That really let me know that God cares about how we feel. We just got to stand on his word.
Yeah. Amen. That's the catch. That's the thing, believing that you receive it when you ask. That's the catch. We don't need all these miracles. You know, the words say, blessed is he who believes, but have not seen and do not have a sign. You don't have to have signs. People keep praying for signs and wonders. But the Bible tells us that our faith is stronger by not having to have signs. Just believe God. That's the work. The work teaches. The Bible, Jesus said, and this is the work, that you believe. That you believe. That's the work. Most people keep talking about signs and wonders, and Jesus talked about that. He said they seek signs and wonders, but that ain't what you're supposed to seek. We're supposed to seek him for him. I love Jesus is not a shadow thing. He's got to be, our love's got to be sincere for him. He is jealous, and he will not share his love. His throne, his grace. So if his signs and wonders we're seeking after, then we're missing. But if we know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, I mean, he done brought me back from the dead 3 times, so I can truly testify to that. God, but I wasn't seeking those things. I was seeking him and him because I knew he was able to do it. And so I thank God, and we thank God that he will continue to raise people from the dead. He will continue, but it's at his will, not at ours, but we got to.
My God, my God.
Amen.
Amen.
Nobody but God. Glory. Nobody but God can get the glory.
Amen. Amen. It seems like everybody, there we are, amen, everybody back online. Okay, anybody got a prayer request that we come together, touch and agree with somebody, anybody else?
Okay.
Amen. Well, I know this is doing. He's bringing us to a point where we can sit down together. God to do it. So we're just going to say thank God for this radio program tonight. Thank God for people that God has found the radio program tonight. And we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we thank you, Lord, and we love you, adore you, and we magnify your name. And Father, we just say hallelujah to you. We say hallelujah to you because there's no God like you. You're the only true and living God. You can hold us in your hand. You can show us in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, you said in the book, you said, we are holy people. You said, we are the holy people to the Lord our God. The Lord our God, you've chosen us this time that we now live in. And because you have chosen us, Father, we know we can do all things through Jesus Christ, the one you sit on there is in. And then, Father, not only in Israel, let the word go forward. And all over that Middle East, Father, let the word of Yeshua HaMashiach go forward. He is here. He is ready. Let it go into Russia. Let it go into India. Let it go into China. Let it go all over there, Father. Let it go. Let it go to Australia. Let it go in. And let them come to an understanding, Father, that you're the only God. You said, let there be, and thou wilt. I want to say thank you this night. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Until next time, God bless us all now, okay?
God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Amen. Love you, Dr. Hunter.
Love you, too. Hey, love you, too. God bless you.
Dr.
I caught the end of it, Dr. Hunter. It's Greg.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. We had an awesome call tonight. I did get an opportunity to tune in maybe for about the last 15 minutes. Very, 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 very great. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity. Thank you for sending me the number.
Oh, yes. It's all about God doing what he wants. And I know God is hooking all these ministers together so we can do a great work in the city of Houston. It's getting ready to blow somebody's mind. Somebody will
Amen.
Think they got it. All
Amen.
I'm saying is, watch the hand of God. Watch
Amen.
The hand of God. God bless y'all
Amen.
Until next time.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom.